Welcome back to Squawk 1200, 1233 here on Whitman Field at Air Venture 2021. I'm Afterburner Al along with Paul Prydecker. Just to give you, if you want to text or call us, it's 920-550-1210. Info at eaaradio.net. You can tweet us at eaaradio. And of course, listen live on eaaradio.net. And you can see us here in the studio if you want to watch along or just listen. Considering that we're still wearing the same blue shirts that we've always done. So there's nothing that important to see, but you maybe want to see our guest, Ben Templeton. And if you ever, you're watching right now our live FlightAware feed, or you have your favorite flight radar of watching the airplanes, a little light coming in right now.
It is, but I was watching yesterday, and the usual stream from, you know, ripping Fisk into the airport. There was just a number of aircraft, and a number of them were, you know, the small J-3 Cubs, mm-hmm. which we love, yeah. And we're going to have Ben tell us a little bit about his adventure.
Right, and if you ever watch someone, you know, progress on, you know, move across to their destination... Ben had people watch for a long time as he flew the entire contiguous 48 states in a J-3 Cub. Welcome, Ben.
How are y'all today?
Pretty good.
We're happy to be here, and we're glad you're here, too.
Yeah.
How did you conceive of this adventure?
We were sitting at a lunch one day with the guys from Triple Tree Aerodrome down in South Carolina, and they had mentioned someone taking their Cub to all 48 states, and I said I'd be happy to do it and get the support of everybody across the country, so we... went for it from there and planned for a couple months.
And how did you decide which way you were going to go? From looking at your progress, it was a counterclockwise around the country.
Yeah, it was basically a big counterclockwise circle with a couple zigzags every so often. There was no real rhyme or reason. It's just kind of the first plan that came to mind was go north first, so we stuck with that for the whole route of the trip.
So... what are the basics? How long did it take? What about weather? Did you have any mechanical issues? Was this the flight of your dreams?
Yeah, it was fun. We didn't have many mechanical issues at all. We had a brand new Don's Dream Machine engine that was a Continental C90, and that ran great the whole time. The trip took 35 days itself. I left on June 1st and got back July 5th. And then it was 7,700 miles, 140 hours of flying, and 107 stops for the whole trip there.
Were the stops pre-planned in general? You kind of had an idea about where you would end up at that night?
Yeah, I had a general idea of where the stops were going to be each day. I had no real plan of where I was going to stay or where I was going to end up for the night, just wherever it got dark, wherever the weather stopped me. And then I had people helping me call ahead, mainly my mom. She called each airport on the way that I was stopping at and make sure they have fuel and everything. And that was how it went for the whole trip.
That's what moms are for.
Yeah,
it's great.
I noticed in some of the posts of where you stopped that you found some pretty interesting places, like I think it was in North Dakota or northern Minnesota, that hangar with the checkered floor that you were parked in. So tell us a little bit about the people you met along the way.
Yeah, there was a lot of great people that reached out and wanted to help support the trip. You mentioned the checkered floor. That was the Fagan fighter group up there. That was the Fagan family with a bunch of fighters. They brought me in for the night, and we watched some airplanes fly, and they put me up in a hangar there and gave me a place to stay. And there's people all around the trip that wanted to help out and give us a place to stay, or at least show me what they have for their airplanes and just support everything on the trip.
You were I read an article about flying Route 66 and landing at some of the places, and the author talked about landing at this one place, a restaurant, and you did the same thing. You parked your airplane next to this restaurant or hotel or whatever it is, and you got the famous picture from Route 66 where some airport's really adjacent to that.
Yeah, that's airport is Amboy. It's in Amboy, California. It's in the middle of the desert. It's just it's an old gas station and a rundown motel. It's almost a ghost town. The gas station's still open. And there's just a gravel strip that's kind of 45'd off Route 66, and you can taxi down the road with no cars coming and get your picture there with the Roy's Motel sign, and that's a famous picture for aviation all around the country.
Did you have opportunities to just promote aviation in general when you'd be out, you know, on overnight somewhere? I mean, did you have, could you see some people and tell them what you were doing and kind of get them engaged and saying, I'm doing this, you can too?
Yeah, that was the main goal of the trip, was to talk to as many people as we can about just promoting aviation in general, kind of what we're doing and why we're doing it. And then one of the big promotions I had, I was stopping at Julie Clark's house for the night, and we flew over to an airport close to her, and I actually gave a talk to an EAA chapter in California, and they were pretty supportive of the whole trip.
We're speaking with Ben Templeton, who just completed an Odyssey, flying the lower 48 in a J3 Cub. And his website is benflies.com. I believe that is the website. And early on in the trip, did you ever have a moment like, oh boy, what have I done?
There was a couple times where it was kind of like, wow, I'm in a Cub. I can go 70 miles an hour, and this is a long way to go. But I just kept flying and was flying 6 to 12 hours a day in the air and just kept going. And they kept counting off states day by day, and it went pretty well.
So I'm just a little curious about the mountain passes. How did you do that?
Yeah, the mountain passes, they made me nervous at first planning. I was looking at it, a 6,000-foot pass, 8,000 feet, and never really flown a Cub that high, or most people haven't because it's a Cub. Mm-hmm. And I just started flying through there, did as much reading as I could about it, and I followed Interstate 90 and the river.
Sure.
Basically from Wyoming all the way to Oregon, did the northern route, and it was no problem at all. I never had to get above 8,000 feet in the Cub. We had a mixture cable in there, so it did just fine with that.
And on the backside, when you started coming east, what did you do?
For the southern route, I went down the middle California in the valley, and then I went down basically through Amboy and followed Interstate 10 all the way through the desert, and then went up north to catch Colorado up there.
Sounded like you had kind of a slightly sportier engine in the Cub, but how long does it take to kind of chug up to 8,000 feet?
For 8,000 feet, when I got to 8,000, I was taken off from about 4,500 feet, and that took right at about 30 to 40 minutes to get there. And that was climbing pretty hard, but not trying to burn up the engine at all.
Right, because you're watching the oil temp and whatever else you could monitor at that point.
Did you
have a few extra engine monitor, or is it just this kind of the standard Cub instrumentation?
It was a bone stock panel. It had an oil pressure and oil temperature. That was it for the engine monitor there.
Wow, that is so classic. Right. So what's next? What's your plan? You going to do another one of these? Some variation of it, or how do you see your next adventure?
For the next, or Oshkosh is the next adventure in the Cub. I just got here on Saturday. It was 12 hours coming up here. Took 2 days. I would love to take an airplane, maybe a little bit faster, but love to take an airplane to Alaska just to say I've done it, and hopefully do some flying in Hawaii one day.
Do you have some career aspirations?
Yeah, one of my main goals for flying, I'd love to fly for Delta and around the Atlanta area. I live in Greenville, South Carolina, so we're close. I fly with a lot of friends down there, and I'm going to college close to there, so I'd love to fly for them or work around there.
Are you in one of their aviation programs?
I'm not in a Delta aviation program.
No, I mean for the college. Is it an aviation program associated with a college?
Yeah, I'm going to Middle Georgia State University. I'm taking an aviation management degree. I won't be flying with the school, although they do have a flight school with them.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
Wow. It's like a dream. I mean, it would just be such right. such a cool thing to do.
One thing I wanted to get back to, just kind of the nuts and bolts of the trip, and that is the other thing we didn't talk about a little bit was weather, because obviously it's a VFR thing. Were you ever delayed, or because of some of the technology now available, you're able to at least maybe salvage some of those legs that you had?
Yeah, the Cub, it's a day VFR only airplane, so there was some weather. We had great weather the whole trip, though. The longest I was stuck in one place was a day. For a time, but there was a couple hours here and there. But with all the new radar technology, and I was low enough to have service most of the time, I could fly around it and know when to stop and wait on weather. So that went pretty well the whole trip.
And if I interpret it right, your parents kind of met you at a couple spots too along the way, or did anybody, or did you? They send you out and see you in a month.
Yeah, all the flying was a solo trip. My parents and a couple friends. We spent about 5 days in Vegas just to see what it's all about there, and that was about it. I had a lot of friends that I knew throughout the country from flying and flying RC models that I met on the way.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about that in the few minutes we have left, because that's one part that I remember reading about your background is you're really into RC. You also are kind of accomplished in competitions as well.
Yeah, I've competed around the country some with IMAC, which basically it's an aerobatic routine, and you're judged off of that flying with a model. It's like it's an IAC routine. You fly with an RC plane, and then we also just fly for fun and do freestyle around the country at all the fun fly events. And then a couple of my friends, Jason Ashley and Tim Hanstein, are all flying up here this week for Oshkosh.
How old were you when you first got started with RC?
I was 9 years old when I first got started with RC, and I've been
doing it ever since.
Yeah, my dad, my grandfather, and me all fly RC.
Wow.
What did you learn about the Cub during all of this this adventure? What did you learn about the airplane that you may not have known before?
I knew I could fly the airplane and everything. You just learn how everything's going to work in the Cub. You learn the whole airplane and what it wants at every altitude and every weather condition.
And then tell me one thing that Ben wants to do this week at AirVenture.
I'd just like to meet as many people as I can about and want to learn about the trip and people who have to support the trip.
I didn't see, but do you have a fixed location or are you just up here and experiencing it?
The Cub's parked over in Vintage by a couple DC-3s, but I've been walking around the whole AirVenture, so if you see me, come up and say hey.
Well, we're glad that you joined us today. His website is benflies.com. He is Ben Templeton. He just completed a 35-day odyssey flying a J3 Cub across the contiguous lower 48. You're listening to Squawk 1200 on EAA Radio.